my dad and my mom was more concerned about education that it sort of like blurred out the good things, because I was so bad at school that, you know, I'm on all-star teams. I'm one of the best athletes in the neighborhood. I get along with everybody. I work. I'm bringing home money. I'm 13 years old. I'm working paper routes. I'm doing everything. I'm a working man, but I wasn't bringing home good grades. So I'm doing 10 good things, but that one son of a bitch and bad thing is the school. That fucked our relationship up. Because parents back then were so afraid. Oh, you got to get an education. You got to get an education. I go, I get an education every day. I just don't get in the classroom, Mom. And she never believed me. Now she does. She looks at me now and she goes, Jesus.
Hey everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's Tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the bar room with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com.
The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Radio is scripted now. We just come up with it. We don't use computers. We don't rehearse. We're going to talk about this next. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the Bulls. And then we're going to have Brad Fix on. And then we're going to have all this. No. No. If you don't know what you're going to talk about in the top of your head before a show, you shouldn't be in the business. I don't know what you got. I feel like Vince Vaughn in a couple's retreat. The sharks are circling. Old school, baby.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right. The Mike North Advantage starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman, and there he is. I see him dancing and prancing. Before you get to see Mike on camera, I can see him here from my control room, and he's dancing. He's just having a good time. He's wound up. He's ready to perform for you. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
I'll tell you what, these 2 hours a week are killing me. What's going on, handsome? I'm having the time of my life. We had our first week of football. We got a lot of questions answered, a lot of answers, not questions. I mean, my God. So it's crazy. We're having fun. I got it in the pool. I went 2-3 with some powerhouse people. Although I'd like to see when you get in the pools, the odds get better. For instance, I win a game, betting it straight, Detroit plus 9. Mm-hmm. But I lose in a pool because they were only getting 7.5 at the time. They lose by 8. So I didn't get that. Also, I was 2-3 on the odds couple, but I took the New Orleans Saints and I took Arkansas over Texas. Those were two huge upsets, but it was a good start to compare to last year. Although when I started out like 0-9 the first couple weeks, we did lose our Jacksonville game. Sometimes you make a pick on Thursday and by Saturday you're getting reads going, uh-oh, it's turned around.
Yes.
And yeah. I want to change it, but I got to stick to my guns, because if you change it and then Jacksonville comes in, then you get on a ledge, you start teetering. You're like the guy in the chair in Shawshank, Brooks, you know. So it's been fun. It's good to have football back. And you know what? The National Football League is the king because of gambling. No question about it.
Yep, without a doubt. By the way, King Pookie Nation Alvarez wants to know how your birthday was and what kind of gifts that you got. So share with us.
What did I get? I got all sorts of stuff. I got some pair of snazzy slacks. I got a couple of I haven't worn a pair of pants with loops for 3 years. Okay. I wear like black, you know, you've seen me, the black sweatpants.
Yes.
They look like a pair of dress pants. You wear a tuxedo top. Nobody's going to get by it.
Uh-huh.
I haven't really subjugated myself to Zubas or anything like that. Yeah, I got some things. I went out to dinner. When I got B, every day is my birthday. So that's just the way it is.
That...
my dog, look out the window and go, Why did they take Indianapolis? You know, it's always, you know, I did take the over in the Bear game. They got that. So there was a lot of different games that I bet that I didn't win on the air, for instance, going 2-3 on AM 1000. Rock Harmon, by the way, went 2-0-1. Good for him. Mm. Holding up the team.
Yeah.
But there's other games I bet that I don't give out, like Cincinnati. I had them. I had Detroit covering. I had the Bears over 48. So I had a pretty good weekend.
By the way, let people know about your show on ESPN 1000.
Oh. Well, it's I always tell everybody, and they sort of agree. Not everybody. I mean, there's people. I mean, I'm in this pool, and I see a lot of people that want. I'm like Gary Cooper in High Noon. You know what I mean? I go to reach for the gun, and I'm going, where is it? And then I got to grab it, you know? I got all these young guys coming after me, you know? So I got to be on top of my game. But you can catch me on AM 1000 ESPN. We're not on yet because of the White Sox on Friday nights. We're on Saturday morning from 8 to 9, but our podcast is up on Friday. It's on Twitter, on North to North, on ESPN 1000, on Bear Barroom. So just check it out, folks. And we had another winning week.
Great. Congratulations. And I
thank you, Handsome. I wish we would run. We went on this show. This is where it all started.
That's right. It is indeed. Now, yeah. I want to talk to you about the White Sox. You brought them up, but let's save that for later because like you said, football is king. And
it is.
I want your impressions of now that you've slept on it a few nights, that performance against the Rams on Sunday Night Football.
Well, it's really what we expected. I mean, nobody can be shocked. I think we would have been stunned had they won this game. They took a step backwards after losing a playoff quarterback from last year, losing a defensive coordinator. Their play calling is as bad as it's ever been. We'll see over the years now. I think over the next 2 to 3 years is when Nagy will get exposed completely because the media will no longer be able to run cover for him like they have. But you got Andy Dalton. You have him throw a lot longer than that. I thought Allen Robinson, I mean, I'm not going to back off of the over-under being 92 catches for him. He had 5 catches, something like that. 6 catches, but for what? You know, the patterns were horrible. I thought that defensively, they had no idea. Eddie Jackson is a bust right now. He had 1 year, got some turnovers. If he doesn't get the turnovers, he can't tackle. I saw the bar room with that great tweet showing him just waving. His career is almost mirroring that of Mark Carrier's, who had the same first year, huge first year, and then after that. But Mark Carrier was better than this guy's been. When Mark Carrier wasn't getting the interceptions, which I concentrated on, he was still better. So we'll see. But it's a bad situation right now. Most of the quarterbacks in our first year started last week and got their butts kicked or lost. So yeah, the same thing. Anybody thinks Justin Fields is going to come in with this football team and win hasn't watched the defense, which we ignored last year, and a lot of other ouchies that haven't been covered up. I'm still trying to figure out how Montgomery carries the ball so well. I'm not taking nothing about his game. And then you don't see him for 10 plays.
Yeah.
They got some other guy running. I don't care about him.
Damien.
Play the load back.
Mm-hmm.
He could have had a better game than he did. And I also thought it was wrong, Eldo. And this is where Nagy gets in the way and causes his own problems. Let the quarterback on his first drive as a Chicago Bear do the whole drive. Do the whole drive. I don't care what Fields did. It took away continuity, took away rhythm, and then you do it again later on. You have time to show off Justin Fields, but let everybody know you made the right move with Dalton to bring him in on the first set of downs on national TV, to me, showed lack of foresight.
Yeah, that was interesting. I mean, I thought almost the other way. If you're going to bring in Justin Fields into the red zone offense, then they'll let him do all the plays in a red zone offense. Just don't have a play. It's sort of the same argument you're making for Dalton in terms of continuity. Fields, if you're going to bring him into the red zone, don't just give him one play. Give him the whole package.
Well, I just hate a guy that drives a team 50, 60 yards and they take him out to substantiate your draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look what we did. I mean, my God, 3-yard run. I've seen everybody from Fran Tarkenton to Michael Vick do those runs. Five quarterbacks, and we're trying to legitimize a draft pick. Of course, it's athletic ability. This is the era of the athletic quarterback,
mm-hmm.
for the most part. And once again, the Bears got a guy, Andy Dalton, who's not athletic anymore.
Yeah, that's another thing.
You got to make up your mind what you want. There's an old saying. If you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. And we have three quarterbacks, and we have no quarterbacks right now. I mean, is Foles active?
Foles was not active Sunday, no.
But he was on the roster, 53-man roster.
Correct.
You're so, taking up a spot. He's not even in a football uniform. What are you doing? You got to have him. I mean, come on. Unbelievable.
Well, do you think that perhaps he could come in handy later in the season if Dalton gets hurt or something else happens to our, you know, other quarterback, our prize crowd? I don't even want to say.
Oh, God, I'm going to tell you. Here's how it should have gone, and I've said this before, and it's interesting now to hear everybody concentrating on the things that if you've listened to this show, mm-hmm. on Bear Barroom over the past 3 years, I said last year the defense was a problem. We talked about it, Aldo and I. You know, we had the 1 year the kicking was bad.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that when you have the same people at the top making the same decisions, you get Dalton, Glenn, and Foles in this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And Trubisky's laughing right now. He's making his 2.5. That's fine. He'll get in. I think Josh Allen will bounce back this week, but he'll get in down the line, and next year he'll be a starter. Mm-hmm. Because I've watched 5-6 quarterbacks this weekend. You can say whatever you want. Trubisky's better than Danny Jones, for instance. Mm-hmm. You want to watch him? Watch Danny Jones. Tell me Trubisky's not better. It's just situational. Some teams got quarterbacks that they made mistakes on that they got to keep. I watched Sam Darnold. So what?
Mm-hmm.
See? So I like the idea of having Trubisky this year with us with Fields drafted. If you can draft Jordan Love while you have Aaron Rodgers, why couldn't you have done the same thing? Because there was something broken in the relationship, and it was after game 3, but we've never had a clear answer. And now we're back to square one with another backup quarterback, which Andy Dalton is.
I agree with you that having Trubisky and Fields would have been a much better solution to the quarterback problem. Two quarterbacks who have similar athletic skills. You don't have to have, you know, one old veteran who can't move in the pocket as you started. Doesn't make any sense. If this is the era of the athletic quarterback, why not have two of them on the roster as opposed to one?
And nobody would be better with Justin Fields than Trubisky would have been. Great teammate. Understandable, but the relationship was so broken. And now we're seeing that the defense is being... I mean, I'm tired of hearing about Khalil Mack.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of hearing about him. I watched some of the greatest linebackers in history play for the Chicago Bears. You knew where they were every mm-hmm. game because they were around the quarterback. This guy can't bust a plane of glass right now. Mm-hmm. So it's absolutely sad. He had one tackle. I mean, his best game might have been his first game as a Bear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Unquestionable.
Yeah.
Unquestionable. Let me get back to the topic of Justin Fields. I want to play for you. Bill Lazor, the offensive coordinator, yesterday, he made news when he was asked about Justin Fields. Is he ready to play? This was his response.
He looked like he belonged. He looked like... he could be successful. Nothing was too big for him, which we didn't think it would be. But I would have said after the preseason that he's moving quickly and ready for whatever's thrown at him. So
he basically is saying he's ready to start.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, whose philosophy is this? Who's calling the shots? Is he listening to Laser? If you remember Laser, I think the worst thing that could have happened in Aggie this year is if Laser was let go last year. Because we really shined when Mitch came back and Laser called the plays. Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. I think there might be some sort of disagreement somewhere in this situation. Yeah, he's ready. He didn't say he was ready to start. And he did play. So they'll play the semantic games with you. But I think they lose their trump card if they start him early and he ends up sucking, Al. I really do.
Mm.
I think Nagy loses his trump card. This is the guy you picked ahead of Mac Jones, or this is the guy that you couldn't wait to get that we traded up for. This is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to hear that in week six. He would rather hear that maybe in week 11. Well, we didn't get him in till late, because I said the best way for Justin Fields to come into the Bear football game is in a winning situation and come in and insert him in plays. But we've seen what happens. You had a quarterback that threw one bad interception last year that was 2-0 that was replaced. So Dalton's got to believe, off of present history, that maybe the leash the short leash has even gotten shorter.
Mm. Mule says, a smart head coach would have delegated his play calling to the offensive coordinator and been able to change the scheme at halftime. Nagy shows none of those attributes to be a good head coach, and particularly the play caller of this football team, right?
Well, I would ask you this. Will he be hired as a head coach again if he ever gets fired by the Bears?
No.
It just seems to me that, and I brought this up yesterday, and isn't it funny? I heard about this on Redline Radio today. Mm-hmm. I was on with John Zaglud, you know, from CKG.
Yeah.
And I said, and it's on Twitter, I said, I liked Wannstedt and Geron more than I liked Nagy.
Mm-hmm.
Because Wannstedt would not have gotten rid of Trubisky. He would have kept Trubisky. So what do I hear on radio today? Or what do I hear on the red line and Twitter? Wannstedt saying, Trubisky, you know, basically I would have kept Trubisky. I knew that. This is a ego thing with Nagy. And he's let his ego put himself into a corner right now. Instead of asking about, and by the way, if Trubisky would have had Dalton's game, he'd be getting ripped to shreds right now. Dalton's running. I hear people saying it wasn't his fault. Well, why was a game, if Trubisky would have a game like that, okay, with an interception? I mean, he'd throw one interception last year, throw four touchdowns, and get ripped to pieces. So the media has engineered this. Nagy is a politician. So is Pace. That's where you get when you're young, like Pace was, and you get a job like this. So I'm seeing a lot of that lately in a lot of leadership roles where you're a politician, not a football man. You know what I mean? And that seems to be what these guys are right now.
Mule says that Wannstedt is too much of an apple polisher. He gave a grade of B to the Bears defense.
Well, I didn't say I was on board with the guy. I said he'd never work out the first year. But I got to agree with the guy on this. To go get Andy Dalton and have Justin Field. Andy, lose the mustache. You look like you fought in the Civil War. For God's sake, you're old already. You know?
What is underneath the mustache? That's what I'm concerned
about. My God, it's crazy.
He's been hiding what's above his lip for many, many, many years.
Now, Cincinnati, I watched them. They beat Minnesota. Okay, Joe Burrow looks pretty good. But I don't see anybody on that team that should scare the crap out of us. I watched Denver this week. I watch them all, folks. And I watch Fuller. How did we get rid of him? I'm watching him knock down passes, picking up bumbles, dragging guys down from behind. I mean, he came in after Peanut Tillman. That's a tough act to follow, and he got it done. And we get rid of him.
And so I ask you, why keep Jimmy Graham who plays 9 or 10 snaps in the game. He caught a big pass. There's no doubt about it. He's still a red zone target. No doubt about it. But why keep him and not use that money to try to get Kyle Fuller to stay, to extend his contract for another 2 or 3 years and so forth?
We've got four tight ends on the roster.
Yeah.
We can't have enough tight ends. We've always we don't use them that much, but we can't have enough of them. Jesse James and Komet. And I love Horsted. You're right. Jimmy Graham is past his prime, eating up a lot of money. Should the same as Foles. We got two guys on the active roster that shouldn't be on the active roster.
Yeah.
They should be playing somewhere else. You can't build a football team and you're getting older instead of younger.
Right.
It's crazy.
Jimmy Graham said that he considered retiring after last season, but wanted to come back to give it another chance to win a Super Bowl. Yeah, right. You came back for the $9 million, buddy. That's why you came back.
Not a Super Bowl. There's not many teams in football that let their playoff quarterbacks go. They're not going to no Super Bowl. They don't know how to handle the quarterback position. They developed the quarterback. They let everybody beat the kid up. He had a winning record. And if I'll say this right now, I'd be absolutely stunned if Justin Fields ever plays 50 games as a starter, if his stats are better than Mitch's, and they won't be better than Cutler's. And I wasn't a Cutler guy. I will be stunned because something's not right here. There's some bad leadership. You're being coached. But I mean, Mitch Trubisky's the only guy that ever made this offense look good. Mm-hmm. Ever made it look good.
Yeah.
When he came back last year, things clicked. Montgomery got better. Everybody got better.
Mm-hmm.
And then we bring this guy that looks like a Civil War general into to quarterback us. And, yeah. I mean, the quarterback situation, we're back to square one. Well, we had a guy that had the last year of a deal. Maybe we catch lightning in a bottle and we're bringing back a playoff quarterback. I'm done trying to figure out the Bears.
Yeah. Well, let's try to figure out what they're doing at the left tackle position because Justin Peters, the 40-year-old veteran, got injured early in the game, and there were a couple of plays where he got knocked on his ass. Exactly. He was pancaked. He's supposed to be doing the pancaking, but he got pancaked. And then he quickly got injured. Larry Borum came in, looked good in a handful of snaps that he was there, but then he gets injured, and now we're down to our third string left tackle. How worried are you about the protection for whoever is the quarterback of this team?
Oh, I'm very worried. And even if you put Justin Fields in, he's going to be running for his life. And what's that going to do? You cut the field in half when that happens. I'm very worried. This is not a good football team. This is a very, very flawed football team. Allen Robinson, he's nice. But for him to think this was a better situation than the one he's had with Mitch where he's caught 102 balls, you have to be out of your mind to think that. But he's playing the company line because he's getting paid by the Bears. But I think that patience is going to start wearing thin, especially if they don't win this week. I expect them to win this week, though. I expect them to win this week. If they don't win this week, only 8% of the teams that start out 0-2. Aldo goes, where does the guy come up with this stuff? I think he just gets out of bed. No, I took a shower today. Got to get a better haircut next time. It's not doing well today. Look, that's one over here, 10 over there. 8% of the teams that start out 0-2 make the playoffs. That's it.
That's interesting. By the way, do you want to respond to this? Black Rain says, sorry, Fields is a better quarterback than Mitch. Mitch couldn't even read the defense.
That's what they're saying about Fields. But I'll tell you this, it's impossible to not be able to read a defense and put up stats like he did. To be the highest rated Bear quarterback of all time, you say something like that, you show how stupid you are. I mean, seriously, I don't even want to have a conversation with somebody like that. You can't go 29-21 in the National Football League without knowing how to read a defense. You can't throw for 10,000 yards in the National Football League without knowing how to read a defense. You cannot throw 65 touchdowns and only 37 interceptions without knowing how to read a defense. higher ratings than McMahon, Cutler, any quarterback in history. Luckman, you name it. Higher rating. You can't do that if you know how to read a defense. So go back with your coloring book, have your fun, and enjoy yourself. We got rid of a better quarterback than we do now. Justin Fields ran for 3 yards, okay, and you jizzed all over yourself. I'm happy for you.
That haircut looks really nice, I think.
I think you got the hair over here. I got to get it up a little bit here. Hey, take it easy. There we go.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'm back to my Whitey Bulger look.
There you go. All right, we got to talk about the defense. And you've hit on it already, but what would you do with Eddie Jackson?
Oh, you got to sit one of these guys down. But they don't have the guts to do that. And is that kid, that the guy that's been on the Bear staff since 2013, he's not going to sit Khalil Mack down or none of these guys. He's not going to sit these guys down. He's been an also-ran. No team's gone after him. He's been with the same team for 8 years. He got a promotion finally because he outlasted everybody. Then they bring in Pettine to be his senior advisor. Well, what? Guess what? You hire me as your defensive coach? And I've been busting my ass. And then you bring in a senior advisor for me. I ain't taking the job. But we've all been in the media, have had stuff happen to us. You think you're going to get this show and all of a sudden something else changes, you know? Mm-hmm. And then it's too late to change. Bottom line is when they brought in Pettine to help him after he's been a defensive assistant for 8 years, mm-hmm. showed a weakness there.
Interesting. This is what Sean Desai said about how the team will respond.
You address the issues. You're very direct. And you take accountability. And it starts with myself. And I let the guys know where I was accountable. And they knew where they were accountable. And then we move forward. And we've got a plan to attack the Bengals and improve on.
Does he convince you at all that...
I was bad too, guys. I just want you to know I'll take the blame first. But you guys suck too. No, you're not exactly Vince Lombardi-like. You know what? It's on you guys to play. The scheme was horrible. The secondary was non-existent. You can't have a guy making all that money back there like Eddie Jackson. You know, you change your number. You do all this nonsense, this cosmetic crap, and then you play like that. You can't even touch a guy that's down on the ground. You don't even know the rules. You thought you were back at Alabama, and that once a guy hits the ground, it's okay. He's down. I mean, that's what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I saw. You don't know the rule. You got to touch a guy there. You just let him run around. It's crazy.
Dan asks, is there someone else better than Eddie Jackson to sit him?
Was there somebody worse? My God, just play some, put him in there for, let the guy know. You know, I hear Nagy, we're all accountable. They play the nice guy. They want to be friends. He's an assistant coach, Nagy. I just said that with Aldo. I don't see him coaching another football team after he leaves here. He's never lost the aura of being an assistant coach. Never.
Right.
To me. You know, he just looks like an assistant, acts like an assistant. That's just the way it was.
Yeah, everything is a teaching moment for this team. And Dan responds to your response, touche.
About the Trubisky stuff?
No, about Eddie Jackson. Is it somebody worse?
Touch somebody.
Well, here's I think, the solution to that. Because, I think, and somebody else brought this up on a different show. It was one of our followers, so I apologize.
Oh, I love the bar room. Listen, I told you guys one of my favorite shows? Aldo and Dan. then you got Johnny Buffon firing away.
Oh, my gosh. That guy is electric.
My God. I was shaken by the time he got off. I turned it on to Parisi's. You know,
they're fun.
They look like a couple guys that once asked me, "Do you have the money yet?"
Somebody in the chat room says Vinny looks like the lawyer, and Joey looks like his client.
I think I heard from one of them. Maybe they were related to them. If you don't have it by Tuesday, it's out of my hands. I mean, something like that. I can joke because I'm Italian. Oh. I hope I don't get canceled. Oh, yeah. All the shows are great. Peggy Kaczynski. Oh, Peggy's on there. Yeah. You know, a lot of great people. Barroom's doing good.
Somebody in the chat room suggested maybe you just sit Eddie for a series.
Nah. I think you see what he does this week. Because if he gets an interception, if the Bears should win, and they're favored to win. So, you know, Nagy can't give the excuse, you know. Then, if they beat Joe Burrow, Dalton has a good day. He's capable of winning. I just don't see. Like I said earlier, Trubisky made this offense look good. Where are all the playmakers?
Mm-hmm.
On both sides.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what? If Dalton puts up 24 points, are we still going to win? What's Burrow going to do to us? You know, they look pretty good.
Hey, Q from Cincinnati.
Wait, hold on, Q. Let me just take care of him. Y'all, let me tell you something, y'all. Whatever that is, if you're not from Alabama, okay, you're in Cincinnati. You're going down. The tiger stripes are going to be erased, my friend.
I love well, he's not arguing with that. He's probably getting bad against this team.
Oh, listen, right. Q's like a bear, you know, Q, Cincinnati fans haven't been around as long, but they know the pain.
Now, we've got to talk about the division as a whole. Are the Bears better than the Packers?
Oh, wouldn't it be great if they were? I would love to see that, but no, I don't think they are. I think maybe, is the division going to lose four games again? I thought Detroit played great. I know they gave up a ton of points, but for the first time, like I said, this Campbell guy has some Karen. They came back, lost by 8. They covered for me. That's all I'm going to tell you. Minnesota, I don't think much of. Green Bay, somebody said if, you know, because of turnovers, his rating was so bad. If Rodgers would have just thrown every ball in the dirt, his rating would have been better instead of throwing a turnover. But I expect a couple of the teams to win this week. So, including the Bears. Mm-hmm. So I think everything will calm down. But it doesn't look good right now as a division now. Doesn't.
Well, yeah, and the Packers looked pretty bleak. Let me show
but
you some.
They've started out like this before. Let me just caution everybody.
Yes, they have.
Eldo says to me after the show many times, God, you pulled that one out of your rear end. I know. Tom Brady lost by 11 his first game last year. Okay? Then the rest is history.
Uh-huh.
And everybody, oh, Brady's lost it. Yeah. Switching teams might have not been the right thing. Oh, yeah. What a dummy goes to Tampa Bay. The next thing you know, they're tossing the trophy around from boat to boat. You know what I mean?
About that.
Right?
I do have some Packers highlights. Take a look at
this. There were some?
Yeah. Well, no, actually.
That was our highlight. This is good for us.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Enough of that.
My easiest win of the week. I mean, New Orleans, by the way, the music and that stuff with them speeding up. I've never really heard that music with anything. Very uncanny, although.
The Benny
Hill. I don't think I've ever seen it put together like that. I mean, your originality, again, just strikes me as being above that of everybody else in America.
I can't take the credit or the blame, which I think is what you're doing right now. That was BDR Ozzy. He posted that on Twitter. I said, I'd love to use that on the show. He said, go.
That's really nice.
He did a nice job on
that. I don't know what the name of that song is. I've always liked it.
That's the Benny Hill theme. He would start
with Benny that. Hill was great.
That's right. He's either chasing naked women or naked women were chasing him or something. He was a funny guy.
He got away with murder.
Yeah. So, I mean, but your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers, I blame that whole fiasco on Aaron Rodgers. And even after the game, he said, we served a blueprint on how to beat us. It's like he is purposely sending out negative vibes. This is the strangest thing I've ever seen a quarterback or any NFL player do.
JaMychal Finley, who used to play for the Packers, said that the last 2-3 years, and now he won MVP last year. So, I mean, which I'm tired of hearing about. Thank God that's over with, because it was a weird year anyway in the NFL. That being said, good for him, but he said he hasn't seen the same commitment. I'm saying, well, wait a minute, he won the MVP. Mm-hmm. But he did say what I've been saying for 10 years. He blames everybody else but himself. And he manages to do that every single time. He's never said, this is solely on me. Solely on me. See you later. Mm-hmm. It's always, we didn't do this, we didn't do that. Yet when he does something good, it's me, me, me. I. That's why I've never liked the guy. I think Brett Favre was a breath of fresh air when he was with them compared to Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers is a tool. Mm-hmm. I always have. He's a one-hit wonder. He won one Super Bowl, like Favre. So I don't care what happens to him. I hope they lose every game this year. I hope the Bears kick their ass.
Yeah, I hope so, too. And Jim says you could see it in Rodgers' eyes. His heart is not in the game, or more so, he is not into the Packers any longer. Man, he looks emaciated after the game. It's like, I don't know what he's eating or not eating, but he looks like he's, I don't know, he looks weird to me.
He's got money. He's got his title. He's been fawned over by the press. He's been given awards. I mean, think about this. We still got to hear from the media. I mean, how stupid do you have to be to think that Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football while Tom Brady's playing? I don't care about the stats. How stupid do you have to be? I mean, I got in this argument this week with some Bulls fans. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Ben Wallace, he was Ford Defensive Player of the Year time, no doubt, with Detroit. They won. That guy made the Hall of Fame? That guy made the Hall of Fame? Luke Longley had better offensive stats, for God's sake. I don't care. See, to me, Eldo, you got to be able to play both ends, okay, of the court. There's mm-hmm. certain things I expect of you, okay? Rodgers only has to do – Rodgers has been phenomenal. Don't get me wrong with his stats. Mm-hmm. But he's not a closer. Peyton Manning wasn't a closer. And all I hear is those two guys are the best of the last 10, 15 years, while Tom Brady's got 7 Super Bowls. It's mm-hmm. absolutely astounding how ridiculously moronic that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
You got a guy with 7 titles still playing that's favored to win his 8th. And I got to hear about everybody else. Tom Brady, I don't think, has ever had a game like Rodgers had last week. Ever.
Right.
He'd probably kill himself if he had a game like that.
Or kill somebody else.
Or Giselle would change the locks. I mean, it's pitiful what he did. He's not. He didn't look into it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Is he a bad leader? Asked Chris Watts.
Absolutely. You got to take accountability.
Yeah.
You got to be accountable. People aren't accountable anymore. You can make mistakes, and if people like you, you keep your gigs. And that's in a lot of walks of life. And you make mistakes, you know what? He's got my support. How does that happen anywhere? I mean, you know, and then you got the same group of people with the Bears making the same decisions year in, year out on quarterback. Ted Phillips, the McCaskies, Pace, Nagy. What do you think you're going to get? A circus, a carnival. That's what mm-hmm. you're getting.
Well, I'll tell you one thing regarding the Packers, and you were impressed with the Lions. Apparently, the odds makers are not so impressed with the Lions. I got a typo there, but it's Green Bay minus 11.5.
Well, you know what? Let me see what I got on that.
Okay.
Because I leaned a couple games last week. I took Miami I didn't pick it. I just said on ESPN, I leaned that way. Mm-hmm. Let me see what I got on the Green Bay game.
And right that's now. The Monday night game, so we're days away, so anything can happen between now and then. But
yeah, you know what? I mean, you got to lean. I'd lean Detroit getting the points, but, you mm-hmm. know, I could see them losing by 30.
Yeah.
So I might not even take that game. I'd probably stay away from it. I haven't done anything for 2 days, taking a break, and I said I'll keep a couple games for the bar room coming up in about 20 minutes here today, 25 minutes. So you just stay tuned, folks. You know, because baseball's become more drudgery. You know, you're getting younger. You know, some teams have already thrown in the towel. Mm-hmm. It's good to, and you know what? You don't have to bet every day. That's mm-hmm. what gives you, that's what saves you a lot of money.
That's right.
It does. Over right. a long while. Oh, I could have made this. I could have made that. Count the times. Just pick the games sometime. Take a week off. Mm-hmm. Pick the games. Don't put money on them. Mm-hmm. You'll feel good about not doing it.
You got to step away from whatever you're passionate about. You got to step away every once in a while and recharge a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about the Chicago White Sox. I continue to say I'm worried, and primarily I'm worried because of the injuries. Now, there have been some good signs, but they lose 2 out of 3 to the Angels at home. What say you? Can you talk me off the ledge?
Well, no, I just think they'll get in. They're going to win, and then they're going to lose. And I don't have them going to the World Series. I think Tony La Russa's done a masterful job. I think all the injuries they had, he navigated. But don't forget, in 2005, they had a huge lead in the second half and almost blew it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they ended up winning. So maybe they're a little bored. I know that. The Cubs are playing good ball right now, so you know at least these teams are trying. But I have faith in Keiko and Giolito completely? Maybe not. Do I have defensively faith in Grandel? Maybe not. He's hitting the ball good. I'll give him credit for that. Eloy, they're telling him to play deeper now. But I don't see this team winning. The Vultures will come out and get La Russa if they lose. It's predictable losing the playoffs. But if you think the White Sox are the best team in the American League, then I don't think you're watching. I don't think you're watching. But they're the best team by far in that division, period. Yeah.
The one good thing is last night, Wednesday night, if you're watching this on demand later, Dallas Keuchel had a really good performance.
Yeah, so yeah.
Didn't win, but they really need those starters.
But he didn't do anything for the last 5-6 starts worth.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
He used to do this 5 times out of 6.
Right.
That's not really, you know what I mean? They'll not really have a problem. I do know this. You grew up a kid. I know you've always been a White Sox fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you were a Cub fan.
I was. I started the first 30 years of my life.
And today you look like Terry Bevington going, who's in? My favorite Terry Bevington. Oh, I love this. The night he went like this. And there was nobody warming up. That's the greatest.
Classic moment.
Oh, they showed the bullpen tumbling. He goes like this. He walks out to the mound. Nobody. It was awesome. Oh, my God. That was awesome. My God.
Oh, Lord.
By the way, Norm MacDonald, I liked him.
Yeah.
I always thought, I never knew he was sick, so God bless him for 9 years keeping the cancer quiet.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know there was reasons he didn't do as much stuff as he could have. Because he used to come on, you'd see him, and you go, boy. Then you wouldn't see him for a month or two, you know? Yeah. Good, great talent, big-time gambler.
Mm-hmm.
He said the worst speed. I saw this on VSiN today with Paulie and Mitch this morning. Was the grand slam in the playoffs with the Mets, and Ventura only got a single out of it, and he had the over and didn't get it.
Oh, you know what I mean? My goodness. Yeah.
So he was a talented guy. He really was. So God
bless. Very funny 61 guy.
61 years old.
Gone way too early. Gone way too early. All right. So you've talked me off the cliff or the ledge because.
Are you expecting them to win the World Series?
No. No. Absolutely.
I expect them to get in the World Series.
No. I do not. I don't think
they do.
Yeah. Exactly.
You can only get a chance, but only, you know, one out of eight, or I don't know who's in the playoffs. Is everybody in the playoffs now? I don't even know anymore. Yeah. I'm watching the game the other night. I go, oh, this is an extra inning game. This is going to be a while. It looks like 10th inning. There he goes, running off the second base, Jimmy. I go, are they going to do that in the World Series?
I think not. I think not. I hope not.
Hey, get off the – COVID's never leaving. COVID's never leaving, period. Let's get back to normal. Get extra innings in, okay, please.
He's not a baseball guy, so he wants to know who is the best team in the Major League Baseball leagues.
I think San Francisco. They're going to win 100 games. They may not. I mean, everybody's got the Dodgers beating them. I love the Dodgers. But San Francisco, to me, from beginning to now, people still don't take them seriously.
Yeah.
They're going to win 100 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So right now, I think San Francisco, if you were going to bet, and they still, you get them at good prices, minus 130, minus 120 on the road, because Vegas still doesn't believe in them, and all they've been doing is winning all year long.
Mm-hmm. But does it break your heart when you see Chris Bryant playing for San Francisco, Javi Baez for the Mets, and Rizzo for the Yankees and so forth, and Yu Darvish for the Padres, that the Cubs have just broken everything up and they've basically handed pennant chances to all these other teams?
No. I know you always like those one no answer.
Right?
You always get a good laugh. I give you one no answer every
episode.
I watch Bryant. I see him in a Giant uniform. He says, "What they do here, you just put our heads down and we try to win." Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what you did with the Cubs. Mm-hmm. You were a prima donna. You are allowed to sit out with little minor injuries. You were after the pennant winning years, you'd still put up good numbers, but not what everybody expected. I mean, I'm looking at Bryce Harper now. He looks like an MVP. And I mean, I might be wrong about him. He's carrying that. I never thought he'd be this. I knew he was good, but he's carrying that Philadelphia team. Yeah. Bryan stopped doing that. Rizzo, he's just another schmo in New York. I watched the Yankee game the other night. I turn on the Yankee game. He's not even playing.
Oh,
he's
wow.
Leaning up against the railing.
Mm-hmm.
He was the face of the franchise here.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to sign an extension. He goes to New York. You're just another schlub over there. There's no, hey, Miz. Oh, you're the best. None of that crap.
Mm-hmm.
None of that. And then Baez, he's got the one with the most fire. But him and Lindor, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to Baez. He was hot this past weekend, but then he gets cold. He's just not consistent. So I don't miss any of them. Darvish has lost 6-7 games in a row, or had lost. I mean, just absolutely horrendous.
Bad.
I don't miss him. Screw it. I think these guys play hard. They mm-hmm. They don't Cadillac into second base. They're busting their ass to get into second. They're trying hard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the one guy, he's got a name like a 1930s player, Schwindel.
Yeah.
Frankie Willie White Schwindel. I mean, you know. Jimmy, I have no wisdom. Wisdom at third. I mean, these guys are all busting their ass because this is their chance. They are more entertaining.
I agree.
They are more entertaining than the team was.
I agree.
Those guys were.
I agree.
I'm watching them to see which one we should keep. Should we keep this guy? Should we keep that guy?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? Why pay these guys? What did they want, Cub fans? To pay each guy $200 million? Because mm-hmm. all three of them overpriced themselves. Mm-hmm. Period.
Yep. I used to go to a place to get my bike fixed called Schwindel's Schwins.
Yes, and Fullerton.
Exactly. That was it.
I know it was that. Right. Well, do you remember the Schwinn factory?
Yes.
It was on Fullerton Avenue by Keystone.
Mm-hmm.
By Keystone. People are going, what the hell? This guy just, this is my home.
That's right.
It's my town. I know it.
It's Chicago.
No, you know what was that? Schwinn was on Diversey, I think.
Diversey, right? Not too far from the field.
Diversey up by Pulaski.
There you go. There you go. All right. Mule has a good question. You think the Cubs are going to be dumb enough to re-sign Javi Baez?
No, they won't re-sign him.
Do you think they should go after any of the old Cubs that are
going to be? If I was going to go after one guy, I'd go after Rizzo probably. Get him cheap.
With the bad back and all?
But get him cheap.
Yeah.
You know, don't give him, you know, they offer. If I was, Javi's going to be too expensive. He's just not good enough. Mm-hmm. I know Rizzo has an old man's back. I don't want Bryant. I think we just divorce ourselves. He's right. We divorce ourselves from them. Let's move on.
I think that
he lost their window. The window shut.
Yes, I agree. Why bring any of these guys back? It's just the Blackhawks seem to do that all the time.
You know who got rid of them? Nobody will tell you this except me.
Who's that?
Not the greats that covered the team. Mm-hmm. Not a Paul Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
Not a Jesse Rogers. None of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
That covered the team. You know who got rid of them?
Okay.
When he said, we got guys here not putting out 100%, not ready to play. Not doing the prep. Remember when Contreras said that?
Yes, he did.
Contreras got rid of those guys. Who's still here? Yeah. Contreras.
Yeah.
So really, when you say, who would you keep out of all those guys? Mm-hmm. He's the guy they decided to keep, and I have no problem with that because he comes to play hard. And he was saying, and don't think he didn't do some talking. There's guys, and I don't want to say Baez, Bryant, or Rizzo, but if they're all gone and the preparation was sloppy, that's on the management and the players.
I love that. I love that. I believe
right that, after that happened, remember?
Yeah.
He said it. And then 2 weeks later, they're all gone.
They're all gone. Well, yeah. The trading deadline had a lot to do with that too.
Well, of course, but you know what? Right. Right around there, he said, listen, right before the trade, we got some guys not putting up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute. Who are we gonna think's not putting out? Hayward puts out. He stinks, but he puts out. He's a good defensive player. He tries his best, but he puts out. Okay, so you get Hayward out of there. Okay. Bryant didn't always play every game. Rizzo, he couldn't. Okay.
Right.
I think it was more directed at Baez, if I had to guess, a little bit of Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. But Contreras basically burned the team down. He did, in my opinion, when he said that in the papers publicly.
No, good for him. I might buy his jersey just as a result.
That's right.
He's the best GM in Chicago. I got to ask you your thoughts on Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He's got a shot at the Triple Crown, which I think is one of the great achievements in all of sports. When you hit for power and average, I don't care. I know all these new statistics. They say base batting averages don't count as much. Get out of here.
Yeah, that's all crap.
Yes. What do you think about Glad? His first full season, 160 games, whatever it is, and he's playing remarkably.
He should be the MVP. I don't care if Ohtani pitches. I don't. I know he's a freak pay player, but he's hitting .257, Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
He's had with the bat, a below par second half. I know he's pitched and he's done a good job doing that. He's got 7-8 victories. Okay. But Vlad Guerrero's got a shot at Triple Crown. And here's another thing. The Angels stink. Okay. Even with him. Don't tell me now. Well, that's all they got. I know Trout got hurt. Yeah. Well, who does Philadelphia have? And Bryce Harper's got them at least involved in a wild card situation. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to hear this crap because he does two things. Who would you want for the next 5 years? That's a decision that you'd have to make. If you're a Cub fan or a Sox fan, who would you want? And I know we got Abreu. Pretend we don't have Abreu. I know who the Cub fans would probably want. Nah, they're not that bright. They'd probably want Ohtani. When you need a first baseman because Rizzo's gone, Vlad Guerrero at first for the Chicago Cubs in that park would be a godsend. But Ohtani's great too, but he's not as good a hitter, not even close as average. I mean, Guerrero's hitting .300. He's going to win a Triple Crown maybe. And he's come through when Toronto needed it most. And they're right there.
I find that to be an interesting topic about who should win baseball's MVP award. I mean, it's always controversial.
Well, it's going to be Ohtani because the New York people, the media. Well, I mean, look at Tom Thibodeau. He got coach of the year because he got the Knicks in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got in because of the New York media. The media seems to be on a Ohtani kick, okay? But Guerrero's a beast. He's a beast, Mule Skinner. Beast. He's like you, Mule Skinner. He's a beast.
Do you remember the controversy when Andre Dawson won the...
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah. Everybody thought Ozzie Smith should have won it, or Jack Clark, or some of those other guys. What did you think back then about Dawson? What year was that?
First of all, they said that he shouldn't win because he's on a last place team.
Right, 1980.
Andre Dawson's a man after my own heart. He said, "Look, here's a blank check. Just fill it in. I give two shits. Okay, fill it in. I'll be over here hitting 40 some home runs. Bang, boom, bang." Dawson deserved it. Yep. Just I saw Ernie Banks play on bad teams.
Oh my gosh.
And he was an MVP 2 years in a row in the late 50s. So, and that's with Mays and Musial. And you know how great Ernie Banks was to win two straight MVPs? You know how great he was in the late 50s with Mays, with Musial.
Yes.
With Aaron, with all those great players. How great was Ernie Banks? And he deserved them. It's not his fault he was on a bad team. So I'm not going to penalize Ohtani because he's on the bad team. I just think Guerrero's got the better numbers.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't take anything away from a guy who is playing for a bad team. He could still be MVP or an MVP contender. Absolutely.
Ted Williams hit 400.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he won the MVP that year.
Really?
I think DiMaggio won with the 56-game hitting streak. Check that out.
Yeah, we'll check that out.
Because let me tell you something. He hit 400. Let me count this up again for everybody. I'm going to hold him up. In baseball, he got a hit 4 times out of every 10 times. And the last day, they said, you want to sit out? He played a doubleheader and I think went 6 for 9. But he didn't win the MVP. I think Joe DiMaggio won with having the 56-game hitting streak.
You are a master. You are absolutely correct. Look at this guy's flexing, too. John McCall and Tyler Ellis, they're in trouble. Look at this. Mike's going to get in the ring with you.
I went like this once. I go, you want to mess with me? And somebody said, you better have 10 guys with you.
Mike, you know what time it is?
Oh, it's time! I love life!
That's right. Mike Moore, one of the hottest handicappers for NFL football and hockey and, you name it, Mike Moore.
You know what? Baseball's become a drudgery. I'm not going to bet too much baseball until the playoffs.
Good.
Then we hit them with the playoffs, okay?
Excellent.
I'm going to go a couple games here for everybody. Right. I know that the LA Chargers are right now -3.5, and the Dallas Cowboys are getting 3.5. I just don't see the Dallas Cowboys. I know the Chargers looked great last week. I had them. They looked sensational. I love their quarterback that, you know, they got a new coach over there.
Yeah.
I really do like them. I'll take Dallas, okay, plus the 3.5 in that football game. And then an interesting game. Well, they're all interesting, but the ones I bet are even more interesting.
Absolutely.
New England's come to New York. You got the two rookie quarterbacks going at it. Take the Jets plus the 5.5, maybe up to 6. Take the Jets and the number at home against the New England Patriots to keep it within the number or maybe upset them. Aldo, two good games.
Yeah.
Dallas and the Jets. Hocus pocus. Dominocus, baby. Okay. I thought I'd bring back an oldie since you brought back. I think I'd do a hocus pocus dominocus.
That was good, Mike. That was good. Now, before I let you go, I want to just get your thoughts about that spread with the Bears, Bengals at Chicago Bears. The Bears are giving up 3 and some places 2.5. I am tempted to bet on the Bengals.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. A lot of people took a bath last week on the Bears,
mm-hmm.
you know, taking that number.
Right.
They took a bath.
Mm-hmm.
What saved me was taking the over. I didn't really want to tell anybody this, but mm-hmm. I will.
Okay.
Because we all have our moments where we just do stupid things when we bet.
Yeah. I've had quite a few in my short career.
I took the Bears plus 4.5 in the first half. But they were right there.
They were.
We step on our you know what.
Yes.
I mean, that was 13. They should have scored on the first, you know, the interception. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody came up with a joke about the Browns, but it go with the Bears. The life expectancy of course, our males is 74, females is 80. Hispanics, I think, is 68. You'll be interested in that.
Yeah, any day for me.
The Irish, if you don't drink, it's 82. If you do drink, 46.
it's genetic. But, that's the way it works.
But Bear fans is 54. But somehow I felt exceeded that.
Brian Urlacher, 54.
Oh, Brian Urlacher. I beg for him back now. I'm glad enough with you two, but I'll take you back in. Where's Briggs? Where's Doug? Where's Obradovich?
Yes,
you want
yes.
to start naming them? You want me to make Bear fans cry? Should I go on a 1 minute tear of great of Bears that I love?
Yes,
just
go.
1 minute. Go. Sayers, Butkus, Holman, Osborne. Okay, Peyton, Fensick, Ditka, Halas, Bull, Pettibone, Rosie Taylor, Davey Witzel. Huh? You want me to keep going? Camp Bozo, Henry Moorhead, all right? Horsted, Cuz, Frank Komet. I mean, I could keep going.
I love it. I love it. Now. Check this out. I actually created this graphic 2-3 weeks ago when Michael Strahan's number was retired, and I wanted to talk to you about retired Chicago Bears numbers. So now you've reminded me. Let me put this up. These are the Bears' retired numbers. Bronco Nagurski, George McAfee, Halas, of course, Gallimore, Peyton, yep. Sayers, Piccolo, Sid Luckman, Butkus, Bill Hewitt, not the writer, but the football right. player, Bill We're George, Bulldog Turner, Harold Redgrange, and Mike Ditka. So now, because they've got so many numbers retired, the Bears have decided not to retire any more numbers.
I think that's a bunch of bullshit.
I agree with you.
What are you talking about? How many numbers do the Celtics have retired? How many numbers? I think the Celtics, look up the Celtics numbers. Mm-hmm. Come on, this is how we keep our audience, Aldo. As they're starting to fade with my boring crap. But I mean, the Celtics... They always come up with numbers.
Yeah.
They didn't say we're not going to. That's all a bunch of BS, you know.
Well, they don't have, as big a roster in NBA teams. So
no, I mean, they played forever.
Right.
And you know what? I mean, to me.
23.
Yeah. That's more than the Bears. Come on.
It is.
If you deserve your number retired, you get it. You get your number retired.
Mm-hmm.
I would have no problem with that. The Yankees don't shy away from that crap. You know, they're Jeter's number's retired. They, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, almost 1-10 is retired with the New York Yankees. DiMaggio, 5. Bill Dickey was number 4.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great catcher, folks. Mickey Mantle was number 7. Yogi Berra's number 8. They don't even have single-digit numbers, hardly.
Yeah.
Walk on.
That's true.
So, I mean, you know, that's a bunch of BS. I think the problem is sometimes pressure is put on teams to retire numbers that they really don't think deserve to have their numbers retired.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the deal.
Yeah.
You know, do we have to retire Singletary's number? Do we have to retire Urlacher's number?
Mm-hmm.
See, to me, Bill George and Butkus,
mm-hmm.
if you're not better than them and you weren't,
mm-hmm.
then the other linebackers don't get in. But, I mean, people can argue about Wilbur Marshall. People can argue about Otis Wilson.
Yep.
People can argue about Fensick. I mean, there's a lot of guys. But that's a special group there.
That really
that's
is.
A special group there, folks. You don't – I mean, the Bears aren't going to retire every great linebacker that plays for them.
Right.
They had the greatest linebacker of all time, middle linebacker, play for them, and that's the standard. Now, Peyton and Sayers, you couldn't ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
You had to retire both.
Mm-hmm. What about
especially
Brian Pickle? What about Brian Pickle? Should his number be retired?
Oh, yeah, his is retired.
Yeah.
Only because of all the, like Bill Mazeroski. He mm-hmm. hit the home run at Pittsburgh to beat the Yankees. He was like a 260 lifetime hitter. He's in the Hall of Fame. Brian Pickle, the movie, the way that he got Sayers to come back and lead the league in rushing, the way he came back, the way he kept playing. He's a legend in as far as Bear fans. Was he good enough? If he lives, he never has his number retired. Never.
Let me throw a few names at you, Chicago Bears players, and you tell me whether forget the limit. If you tell me if the Bears should retire, Richard Dent, number 95.
No.
MVP of the Super Bowl.
No.
I'm surprised.
I know.
23, Devin Hester.
Yes.
Yes. Number 6, Jay Cutler.
No.
Say goodbye, Mike. That's our show for today.
I'll tell you what, and I'm being fair to Dent because I don't think I'd retire Hamptons.
Really? Number 99?
Yeah, that's the point here we're talking about. See, everybody would want – if you want, retire the 85 have an 85 thing with the numbers around it.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's your only Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, because I could argue for Otis. I could argue for Singletary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't retire everybody's number. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that team, I mean, my God, Hilgenberg, Covert. You know, if we start getting into it, they were the 85 Bears. They don't need their numbers retired.
Yeah, but it is interesting that you got guys in the Hall of Fame for the Chicago Bears and their numbers are not retired. That just seems totally wrong to me. Jimbo Covert's number should be retired. He's in the Hall of Fame.
And Richard Dent. And you Richard know. Dent. Look, I have no problem with it, you know.
If you start running out of numbers, would you be opposed to having three-digit numbers? So at running back, number 101. No.
Fractions.
Love it. Seven-eighths.
Right now, Andy Dalton would be wearing the number seven-eighths. Like the Stooges. Justin Fields got a question mark instead of a number on his jersey. You know what I mean?
All right, Mike, it is time for us to go say goodbye to all your friends and family.
I love being on the Barroom. Everybody knows that. I love everybody at the Barroom. Thanks for tuning in. YouTube, right? YouTube, check it out. That's how I check it out. Barroom. I check it out. I check all the local listings. I still Radio Free Europe's blocking me. I don't know what's going on.
And people should also know that the Mike North Advantage is still available in audio only podcasts, iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, wherever you get podcasts, you can find the Mike North
Advantage. I'm going to listen to that today.
Yeah, absolutely.
The hair's not good. I don't need to look at it.
You look great.
All right, pal.
Bye-bye.